And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ, February 16th, 2025. We welcome you folks out there and we thank you for joining us. The message that we had this morning by Jack Moore was straighten out your priorities. If you listened to the hour before, that's what you heard. And if you join us and you're going to listen the hour after this live hour, then you're going to hear that message as well. And I couldn't help but think, as Jack Moore was talking about, you know, how with the things that had happened in the last 50 years, and did some math in my head, and you add 37 years to that, 87 years is about what he was talking about. And, you know, I just kept thinking, it's like, oh, Jack, if you could only see things now. And thinking about how much different things were when he was preaching that message 37 years ago. And, you know, it was very clear to me that he saw things way ahead of his time. And but you're going to have to bear with me. We're going to go a few minutes over today, but the timing is going to work out for the message that we have today and the message that we have afterwards. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you give us. We thank you for this day, and we thank you, and we just praise you for the work that you're doing. We pray, Father, that you do raise up patriot Christians once again, Father, that they make a stand for what they believe in, that they're not afraid to speak the truth. We pray, Father, that you continue to work in the hearts and minds of your people, draw them closer to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We're going to do things a little bit different this morning. We're going to have a song service and a communion service with Pastor Pete. And then we're going to have a new message by Brother Zach entitled The End Game. And also wanted to say happy birthday to Andy. Andy turned 10 years old yesterday and had a birthday. He's a cowboy from down in Texas, and he joins us for church on a regular basis. So from our church family here, we want to wish you a happy birthday as well. And we hope you enjoy this song service coming up.
Remember all the times when I was just a boy. I remember all the things, especially the toys. But there's just one thing that she made sure that we had plenty of. That was my grandmother's love. That was my grandmother's love. I remember all the things she used to say. Like, Michael, you need to straighten up, boy. You could be a better man someday. She was so right. It took me so long to learn from the things that I have done wrong. But I still have my grandmother's love. Yeah, I still have my grandmother's love. She was there whenever we needed her. Whatever she gave us, it was always with love. There just was a thing that she made sure had plenty of. That was my grandmother's love. That was my grandmother's love.
At
That song that you've been hearing is a song that was sung real well by our friend Mike Platje, and I'm sure some of you, like me, still miss him. But that's a good song. You know, I was thinking as I was listening to that song, and I want to say greetings to the saints of the lost and found sheep of the house of Israel. This Sunday, July 5th, 2009, if you tuned in on the radio somewhere in the world or on the internet or on satellite, you're listening to a sermon coming to you from La Porte, Colorado. Sermon title today is going to be More on Deception. And not getting into that sermon right away, but I will say this. Takes a while to get it through the head sometimes, but it occurred to me. These old boys have had all these visions from God, and they've never been able to figure out the simple teaching of Acts 2:38. You know, the difference between someone like Mike Platje and these false prophets I've been talking to you about was that when Mike came here to sing his songs, he was so amazed that this church would let him sing his songs. He had songs like Satan Bow Down that churches would not allow him to sing the song. Hey, here I am, getting in the sermon already. Just like an old racehorse in the gate wanting to get out there and run. But stop and think about it. If you got a church that doesn't want Mike to sing the song, Satan Bow Down, whose side are they on? Amen. To show you old Mike was on the Lord's side, even at age 50. Was that his age, 50? 55. At age 55, this preacher baptized him because when he saw the truth about baptism, he was baptized. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for all the good and wonderful things you do for us. We thank you that you've been so good to us that you've allowed us not only to be able to fellowship together here in this small assembly in the foothills of Colorado, but you've allowed those all across the world to assemble with us and to praise you and to worship and to learn. And you've allowed us to understand that you still have, in spite of all that's going on, a remnant. A remnant that love you with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, and all their strength. And Lord, may we be found in that number. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray for more of your Holy Spirit to bring more of that love from our hearts to your throne. And Lord, today, to express our love to you, we sing from our hearts. We sing and do it with great gratitude. And Heavenly Father, make the sermon today be a Satan stomper, a snake stomper, an eye opener, a revealer of that man of sin and lawlessness. Now I ask that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct. And Lord, change all the curses of the cursed ones that try to hinder your saints, your truth, try to put out our light. Change their curses to blessings and let them just put showers of blessings upon them. And Heavenly Father, see to it as we institute the prayer filter that we not bless those that should be cursed or that we not curse those that should be blessed. And oh, Heavenly Father, make us a blessing to those that gather with us to learn more of your word, more of your plan. And Heavenly Father, as the enemy rages, focuses everyone's eyes on their power and their might, we laugh. Because, Lord, we know you rose from the grave. And so we just pray. You've showed us what real power is. We worship you today and we remember. Amen. And you all say amen. Got an old Johnny Cash song that someone wrote. I think it was Steven Spielberg rewrote this song, and we're going to sing. Bring it up. Is it Hey Sinner, or is it... What's that? What did I say? Spielberg? All right. Sorry, Stephen Spaulding. I did that on purpose so everybody knows. Wake up. Hey Sinner, you better wake up. Stand up,
hey,
everybody.
Hey Sinner, you're running out of time. How much longer do you think you have? We're going to completely blind. The choice is now before you. It's time to break and spell. And claim your destination. Is it heaven or is it hell? Sinner. shackle Satan's spell.
Stephen Spaulding wrote that song, or rewrote a Johnny Cash song. And I think that's in our songbook number two, is it not? Songbook number two, Circuit Riding Preacher Songbook, and you know, you ought to get it. You send a $40 offering and you get the songs. There's 40 songs in it, and you got the CDs with the song and then the CDs with the backing track. Next song is also in it called, what is the name of that? I Got a Spine. Hope you do. If you don't, get one. Now
I don't have a spine.
Well, then get one, amen. I hope you do, because we're coming into a time when men have got to be men again, women got to be women of God again, and we got to be strong and courageous, amen. Because I tell you what, that old Satan and his little serpent children, most of them behind church pulpits today, are a slithering and spell cat. And I want to thank those of you out there that are still praying those pistol and that rifle prayer against the spells that they are dispelling or putting out there. We're the ones dispelling. Now, some of you have said, you know, I feel a counterattack. Well, then counterattack back. Amen. Put on that armor of God. And I want to tell you, I see encouraging signs because the spell is coming to an end. And the spell casting song we're going to sing next is called Devil Spell Cast. And I hope you'll sing it with us. You won't find this song sung in very many churches today, but you find it today at the LaPorte Church of Christ. Sing it with us, will you? Devil Spell Cast. Song. Somebody on our ministry wrote it and sent it to us, and hope you were singing it out there. And I hope the next song you don't just sing. I hope that you will pray it as you sing it. concentrate on the words, but before we do, we better put on the armor, because the next song is a mighty weapon. And when you use the mighty weapons that are powerful for the destruction of fortresses, don't be surprised if they don't fire back on you. And it won't hurt if you do what the Lord says. Let's do it. Our Father in heaven, we gird our loins now with the I am truth. We can say, I am more than a conqueror in Christ. I am a child of God. I am born again. I am victorious in Christ. I am position of authority. I am in possession of prayer power. Lord, we take these I am's and we gird them as your children around our loins. And Lord, we now believe those I am's, and we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was likened unto righteousness, it said. Oh, Heavenly Father, that breastplate of love, front and back, we place on to us as the armor of God, and we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, Heavenly Father, as this world's in turmoil, we walk in it in peace, holding up the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts of Satan himself and his children, wearing the helmet of salvation that radiates into our head the truths of God's word and protects our mind from being double-minded. And Lord, we take the sword of the Spirit, the mighty word of God, and we wield it, and we place upon us the mantle. We wrap it around us of wrath and zeal. We come to you in prayer. And Lord, as we sing this song today, a mighty weapon, may it not only be a song, but a prayer as well. And we do pray it and sing it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing it and pray it. A mighty weapon.
All day.
Some of you might have been standing out there. If you were, I say out there, we've got many, many now that come to us from out there through the internet. Greet. And, of course, then there's the radio satellite audience. And, believe it or not, we even have an audience, Pastor Peters. So we praise the Lord. We're going to take time before we get into the sermon today, have a little bit of a pep talk before we have one of my Acres of Diamond men kind of brought out to me every now and then. Groups of pep talk. And, you know, you always wonder what you're going to talk about when you have. And the Lord wants us to take time, direct our minds and our hearts. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He made it clear that we are to eat his flesh. We are to drink his blood. He made it clear that we are to do that if we're going to abide. Now, that's for those that are in that body. Some time back, I brought a message on radio and in Branson. And I think from this pulpit, I don't remember, there's so many of them been going out these days. Like, there's only two churches in the world today. The church of your choice and his church, which is called his body, which we are added to when we are baptized into Christ. And we are to abide in that body, and the body comes together to partake of communion. And when we partake, we do it in remembrance. Now, disfellowshipping today means very little to people because they don't understand. Such a rebellion going on in the land that we'll just do it however we want. We don't need you, and so forth and so on. But God does have, and he does have positions in that. No, it's not a building. Word itself means, Greek word, ekklesia. It's the called out. And when you are added to it, as the Bible prescribes, baptism for the remission of sin, you become a member of his the head. And then the head can direct. But you can be cut off from that body in more ways than one. Many people just cut themselves off by simply disfellowshipping themselves. They excommunicate themselves. Others, they get excommunicated, but doesn't bother them any because they don't understand. I want you to understand that Jesus made it clear for Peter to understand, upon this rock I will build my church. Now that's not your church, the church of your choice. That's not some church that some woman built and had prophecies about. It's the church that goes back to the very beginning of Christianity. And you read about it in Acts chapter. And he added to their number daily such as were saved. That church comes together and they abide together and they continue and they take their direction as a body. Sometimes when somebody in the body is suffering, they suffer as well because that's the way a body works. Someone rejoices in the body, they rejoice. Now, I wasn't planning on doing a talk on the church itself, but I want you to know that if you're part of the church, you are victorious in Christ. And the Bible says Jesus is the Savior of the body. That's why you want to make sure you're in that body. Seems reasonable, does it not? And for those of us that are, we must understand Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail. What that means is they will not have victory over. That doesn't mean they won't come again. And they certainly have over the eight. But we have the victory. And sometimes we need to not look at the scene. If you take and look at the scene, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. With faith, you do not look at the seen, you look at the unseen. And the way they take away your faith is to get you to look at the, see what we're doing now to you? See what we're going to do to you? See what your future is going to be with us? No, I don't see that at all. Now, old Goliath had everybody seeing things his way. But there was a little remnant called a David, and he came on and he didn't see it that way. And I want the remnant that I'm privileged to minister to see things in a different way. You've got to look at the end. And I want you to see a truth here as I kind of give a pep talk before we have communion, found in Romans chapter 8. And it starts with verse 31 that we're going to start reading. And I thought it was a good idea, my Acres of Diamond man saying, you know, give them a pep talk. So if you want a pep talk, start reading with me Romans chapter 8, and we read verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is he who died, yea, rather who was raised. Who is at the right hand of God? Who also intercedes for us. Everybody say hallelujah on that one. Intercedes for us. You need a little intercession just like I do. And it goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ shall tribulation, stress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Now, is that a pep talk? Heavenly Father, as we come to the table, we remember your love was so great that you never even held back your only begotten. Oh, Heavenly Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit give a little help here about this time for all that gather around communion time. Let that soak. I know there are so many out there, Lord, that have children. They hold them to their bosom or pray for them in their success in life. The love, there's a bond there we know only came from the Creator. Help them understand that love and bond, you and your Son. Yet you gave him for us. And through him, we are conquerors, and we claim that. We acknowledge the power that you made known. Out of the grave, he came victorious over all. And Lord, we know that there is power and strength and healing, renewal, each flesh, as we do in communion. And we do so great, beseeching all the blessings that are ours, just as the saints, or just as the children of Israel ate the manna of old, about as well-balanced meal as there ever was. And so we eat this meal today, knowing it's your manna out of heaven. It's your Son said, eat and drink. We say, okay, Lord, we will. Now, Lord, I've already prayed over this loaf and this cup. I prayed that you would overlook those that have not properly prepared their hearts for purification purpose, that your grace would be extended to all the saints as we partake together as a body of believers. Your curses would come down and soak in and hit every fiber and bone cell of the cursed ones that would dare to try to come in and partake. So we pray it, and they bless us as we partake in Jesus' name. May take the loaf, take the cup.
And greetings to the once lost and now found, the house of Israel. We here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome you all out here. We're glad that you are here to join us this morning. And we are going to start by identifying and defining who Jesus Christ is. Next found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, and he died, and he was buried, and he rose again. And he released Israel from marital laws to buy her back. So that way, if she chooses, then she may be joined back with him. So if you want to be part of that remnant to choose, pay attention, listen to Pastor Peter, get some books. There's lots of great material out there that kind of gets you up to speed, educate, biblically educate. If you decide to get any of these books, the little introductory packet, I encourage you to follow along in your Bible. And put the author to the test. Keep their feet to the fire. And then as you read and pass and refine, you'll find yourself backed into a corner you cannot get out of. And then hopefully you'll submit. So what I got to say about that. So get an introductory packet. There's a lot of good information in there. So I was talking with Brother Jason before we started here about a couple hours ago. And we've just been talking about things, talking about how our training as young men. And now as we're evolving into middle-aged men, I still think I'm young. And the training that we have that has been good, and the training that we have had that has been bad. And our trainers, they only know what they know. And one of the things that we talked about is, Pastor Peters was still here today, what would he think? How would he change his outlook? Would he change how he operated? And one of the things that I always admired about Pastor Peters, that although I don't agree with everything that he did say, even when he was alive, at the time I didn't agree with everything. There's about two things I didn't really I didn't really see eye to eye with him on, but I mean, it was irrelevant, really. But, you know, and the only reason why I bring that up is because I, myself, you out there need to have a mind and you need to think. You need to think things through. You don't need, don't be gullible. Don't just let somebody talk to you and, you know, just believe everything they say. Because we are men and we do get things wrong, you know. And I remember one of the things, Pastor Peters, when he was wrong and when he recognized it, he always admitted it. And I always admired him for that. And the reason why I bring that up is you need to, and I, you know, whenever we're engaging somebody, and what I mean by that, talking, discussing a plan of action, how to move forward, whether it be at work, home, whatever it may be. And you have more than one party involved in the discussion. If I say you have two parties, like I have two business partners and they're quite a bit younger than me. And, you know, I got to listen to them. I got more experience in the field of work that we're in, but I have to listen to them because they're my partners. And a lot of times I don't agree with what's being said, but every once in a while, as you've heard me say before, they will get me in a pinch and I need to recognize that maybe my opinion's not right. So whenever you're engaging with somebody about whatever the topic may be, at least I do, and this is one of the things I admired Pastor Peters about, was when you realize you're wrong, you have to be able to admit it, but you always have to have in the back of your mind, I might be wrong. I might be wrong. And you need to consciously think that. I might be wrong. And it doesn't matter what the topic is, because no matter how wise you are, I don't think, if you think you got your head completely wrapped around a situation, you really don't. So you always got to keep that option open in your mind. I might be wrong, and be able to make an adjustment. And that was one of the reasons why I loved Pastor Peter so much. You know, he was a hard man. He was a rough cat, and everybody knows it, you know, but he did have that ability. And I always thought that when I would listen to him, when he would make a mistake, and I can only remember two specifically, and just the way he handled it. You know, he had pretty much had to sit there and eat that crow. And, you know, we need to be able to, as Christians, be able to do that as well. So, because not everything that's going on in our mind is proper. So if you have your Bible, turn with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to start out in verse 11. And this, we're about the body. And the title of the sermon today is The End Game. What is our end game? Before I start reading, I had a meeting with my partner, and we had a contract that came up. It was a legal contract that we drew up, and it had been fulfilled this past November. And now we don't have a contract. So basically, is what it was a goal to gain all the equipment, get it paid for. And then we were going to kind of part ways and jointly own the partnership or the equipment together and just go sell for ourselves and go out and be savages and, you know, go make lots of cash. And I think about it now and I think, well, you know, that would actually work. But the time of the year was wrong. We were going into winter and, you know, to do a company shutdown for the winter when, you know, there's certain things that were involved. But we ended up deciding keep going together as a team. And this meeting that we had, you know, you always have to have an end game. What's the end game? What's the end game of the partnership? What's the end game of what we're doing? Is working and building this company going to be enough? You know, how are we going to package it and sell it? You know, what's going to be the flavor to where somebody's going to want to buy it for the number that we want? Because there's, I mean, three companies are a dime a dozen. Well, what's going to make us so special to actually think that we can cut that to make that happen? So we have to have an end game goal. And we as Christians, we need to have an end game goal, because what are we doing? Is the end game just dying and going to heaven? Is the end game ushering in the kingdom of heaven so that way, excuse me, his law, biblical law, reigns supreme over the land, over the world? What's the end game? You and I and everybody, other baptized believers, are in a sense in a partnership. Now, most people out there, and there's probably some of you cats out there, like, oh, I don't need to be in a partnership with anybody. In a partnership is just, if you fail, then it's not all your fault. That's a bunch of garbage. We are in a partnership, and what binds us is the mind of Christ, and that is the Bible. That is the word that becomes this Bible is what binds us together. I was going to read about Corinthians. God said what Paul said about the Bible or about the body, but I'm not going to. I'm gonna skip that. Maybe I'll get into that some other time. So dip out of that and take your going to the Old Testament, to Isaiah chapter 52, because you've heard me say it before. The Bible says that the church is the body of Christ, and the mind, the head, is Christ. So the physical body of Christ is already here on earth. And, you know, there's a lot of thinking out there that God's going to come in and he's going to take care of all this stuff. You know, and we sit back and wait for him to do it. You know, we just got to be clean and sinless, and we just got to sit back and do it. Well, is that what the Bible teaches? No. We have to be doers of the word. Why? Because we're the body of Christ. God's already here. I believe it. 100%. And the reason why God's law, it doesn't reign supreme over this country and the land is because there's a disconnect between the head and the body. For some reason, Nathan's going to do it all. But he's already here. The brain has to tell the hands what to do. The brain tells the feet and the legs to walk, run, kneel, sit. How are we going to accomplish this? How are we going to get the law of God to reign supreme over this land and over the world? First of all, we have to study. First of all, second of all, we have to believe that we can actually do it. We have to have an goal. If we don't have an end game goal, then what are we doing? Why are we meeting in the morning? Who are we helping? What kind of system are we setting up for our children? What are we doing? What's the end game? Our forefathers in this land, in the United States, they didn't sit there and wait for God to do it. Their action to build this country because they believed that God was on their side. They didn't just sit there and wait. Every single action that you do is either going to be a step into the direction of setting up the kingdom or a step backward. You have to believe that. You have to live that. You have to take responsibility for your actions, especially when we're living in a system that we are as today. You don't get any more Babylonianized than it is right now. And you're forced to operate in the Babylonian system while you're to set up and uphold God's system. That's quite a predicament that we have gotten ourselves in and our forefathers led us to because of improper training. You have your Bible, Isaiah chapter 52. Verse 1. Awake, awake. Clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer. Sorry about that. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come into you. Take yourself from the dust, captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from your chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. So, what is this describing here? This is one of Pastor Peter's favorite. Like, he was still alive. And I would listen to him. You'd read this over and over and over. And what is this describing? You all have heard this before. Somebody needs to be awake. And that means somebody is asleep. Who is that somebody? Oh, and you need to clothe yourself in your strength. Oh, Zion. That's Jerusalem. That's Israel. That's who he's talking about. Israel is asleep. When you're asleep, you are unaware. What are you doing? You ain't doing nothing. You're doing nothing. Sleeping. You're unaware of your surroundings, and according to this, clothe yourself in your strength. That means you either don't have any clothes on, or you got a bunch of rags. You need to become aware and get up and put some good clothes on. When you feel different. When you get studied up, I actually believe this is your dawning knowledge. Biblical knowledge is what he's talking about here. The unclean, the uncircumcised, will come into you no longer. That means there's a bunch of gnarly people, ungodly people, unchosen people, sin of Satan, or seed of Satan, Edomite, having their way with, ruling the roost. And we all know why. That's because of sin in the camp. Shake yourselves from the dust. Land there on the ground in a heap. I mean, you have to get up. You have to take control. Why would you think to do this? Because the head of the church is telling you to. Think about it. What can your head do? What can your personal, specific head that's on your shoulders do? What can it do? Nothing. It can shake, roll its eyes, give facial expression, and communicate in a lot of different ways, but the actual work and productivity can't really do a whole lot. It can think and tell the body and give orders. That's what it can do. And that's what the head of the church, the word is saying to do right here in Isaiah 52. Get up. Get up. Take the dust off. Put some good clothes on. Recognize that the uncircumcised and the unclean are around. We see that happening in this nation today. Personally, I think there's some snakes thinking that they're posing as clean. That should not be a concept that's not you know, foreign to anybody that's been around here for the last 10 years or 12 hours. This isn't a new idea. Loose the chains from around your neck. When you got chains from around your neck, actually, the chains from around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. So Zion, they're captive. We're still captive. We were sleeping, laying in a heap, in filthy rags or naked, captive, slave. And what these two verses are saying is to get up, recognize the situation that you're in as a nation, as a group of people, as a church, and get up, put on good clothes, take chains off, and be. How do we do that? Now, I can only control what I do. You can only control what you do. Repent. Story doesn't change. Actions don't change. The changing the thinking and how we do stuff, we have to change that. We have to put in our mind, what's the end game? What is the end game? Well, the first step that we need one, and we're in a bad situation. How are we going to get out of it? Repent. You know to repent because you are aware of the situation that you're in. For thus says the Lord, you are, and you will be redeemed without money. Here's the thing. Our Lord and Savior took on all of our debt. Took back. So the debtor is slaved. Is slave to the lender. Jesus paid our debt. Changed ownership. He bought us back. He redeemed us without money. He took the debt. He paid. He paid. For thus says the Lord, my people went down at first into Egypt to reside there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without help. Many of you know when Israel went down into Egypt, they were under Egyptian rule. Then, as it says right here, then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. So even the Egyptians, they were susceptible to invasion. Now, I don't know if there's an invasion, but we know the politics. Who did Israel have to deal with? Pharaoh. And those were the ones that were dealing out all the punishment and putting the heavy loads, which was making them groan. It was the Assyrian politics that was going on in the land of Egypt at that time. Now, therefore, what do I have here, declares the Lord? I see my people have been taken away without cause, declares the Lord. Those who rule over them howl, and my name is continually blasphemed all day long. And tell you something, I know people are hooting and hollering about this new health dude. And I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm not saying he's a good guy. I don't know. But if I heard somebody say that he had been praying for, how did they say that to me? That he had been praying for a long time to have God give him the ability to help the nation with the health crisis. And that's a great thing. That is a great thing. I'm not saying that it's bad. What I'm saying is, what if he's a Judeo-Christian? What if he's a Roman Catholic? I think that's actually what he was. I don't particularly know what kind of a religion that he is. But the point is, because if he's not praying to the God of this Bible, I mean, if he thinks the Jews over in Israel, the Israelites, are God's chosen people, we have an issue. No, I don't watch the news. I simply don't care. But be careful with what you're seeing and don't get too sucked into it. They have been howling with us. Or how did I say that again? But they have been, they have howled and they have been, they have continually blasphemed the Lord's name. How do they do that? Well, they got the wrong Jesus. God's law is them, and you can have a lot of Babylonian bull mixed in with it. End result, deception, and you're not going to have God's kingdom. You're not going to have the proper end game. Therefore, my people shall know my name that day. I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. So he's going, God's people are going to know his name. They're going to be able to identify him properly. That's the end game. My Jesus believes that the law is still in place. My Jesus believes what the prophets say about him and his people. God's done away with it. The law has no effect anymore. We need to be careful, and we always have to, you know, that's another deception. They both say Jesus, but you need to identify his characteristics. If you don't identify his characteristics and bind yourself to them, you're going to get an improper end game. I've talked so much, I haven't even gone through all the scriptures I went through. What's the end game? I'll tell you. Here it is. About praying, Jesus tells you the end game, Matthew chapter 6. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard in their many words. It's funny because I'm in this position which forces me to do all the talk, which is actually a lot of times kind of uncomfortable for me. It's kind of funny. You know, I'm in the beginning of this sermon, I was telling you got to be able to listen to what the other person saying. You might be wrong. Here I am in this position. I ain't gotta listen to anybody. I'm any of you. That's pretty ironic. But, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are you doing when you pray those? What are you doing when you utter those? That's what you're doing. You want the kingdom and will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we have forgiven our debtors. You got to do a lot of forgiving. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You pray for the end game. You pray for his kingdom. His kingdom has rules. The fake Jesus' kingdom has Babylonian rules, some of God's rules in it. It's a big mess. We got transgender rules. We got to be okay with the gays. We got to be okay with, but we can't have no sin. But their Jesus doesn't really define sin, but it's all a bunch of confusion. So the end game is his kingdom and rule to be established here on will to be done. And how do we start the step towards the end game? Self-examination. Forgive those who have wronged us. That way God can forgive us. Be honorable. Learn how to navigate the system. That way you can be prosperous and still honor God. Because the more honorable things that you do, the less room there is for sin. You eat an elephant one bite at a time. And we will, if we believe, we will take one step to the kingdom, God's kingdom being established here on earth. It already is. But God's busy dealing out curses. Deuteronomy 28 curses. But the end game is Jesus established here on earth, and everybody knows that he's the rule and lawmaker. We're doing his rules, his laws. That is the end game, as I see it. For those of you who are his, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you.